That's classified.
It's what?
It's classified.
It had been deemed classified.
And B, that footage is highly classified.
Classified?
It's classified.
You can't tell anybody, but...
People need to know.
Welcome to CIO Classified, where you'll find candid conversations with the world's leading CIOs. In each episode, we have two different CIOs discuss a single topic. This week, we were joined by Sanjay Makwan and Harry Timken. Sanjay is the CIO and CISO at Vonage. Before Vonage, Sanjay held leadership positions at NBC Universal and AT&T. Currently, Sanjay is also an adjunct professor at the University of Pennsylvania and an inventor or co-inventor on 41 U.S. patents in areas of mobility, multimedia, content, security, and cloud. Harry is the CIO at DriveWell. He has spent his career working in e-commerce sectors and financial services spaces. As a result, Harry has 30-plus years of experience that include many leadership roles, from overseeing change at a billion-dollar business like eBay to implementing the next generation of technology for fintech startups. In this episode, you'll hear Sanjay and Harry talk about the new leadership model for the modern CIO and hear some great advice to improve employee retention and productivity. But before we get into it, here's a brief word from today's sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Asana. Asana is a leading work management platform that empowers teams to orchestrate their work, from daily tasks to big strategic initiatives, all in one place. By enabling the world's teams to work together effortlessly, Asana helps organizations of all sizes and industries achieve their goals faster. Learn more at asana.com. That's Asana.com.
And now, here's your host, Ian Faison.
Welcome to CIO Classified. I'm Ian Faison, CEO of Caspian Studios. And today I'm joined by two special guests. First, Sanjay, how are you?
Thanks, Ian. How about you?
Doing well. Thanks so much for joining the show. And Harry, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Ian.
Yeah. Excited to have you on the show and excited to chat with you both today. We're going to talk about future-ready leadership and how CIOs can think, rethink leadership models. So let's get into it. First, Sanjay, can you tell us a little bit about the scope of your role at Vonage?
So at Vonage, which is a global cloud communications company, really critical to digital transformation across many industries, I have three core responsibilities. First of them is core IT, which is obviously critical to digital transformation, information security as a CISO, and also I look after our business intelligence and data analytics responsibilities at Vonage. So with all those three things combined, my role, the way I see it, is really to help make Vonage scalable, secure, data-inspired company that delivers best-in-class customer experience and also best-in-class employee experience globally, as we are a very global company.
And Harry, what about you? Tell us a little bit about your role at DriveWell.
Yeah, so you know, my role is a little bit different than Sanjay's as CIO. I mean, I work very closely alongside our chief product officer and our chief technology officer in really setting the product and technology strategy. But ultimately, my role is much more client-facing. I actually spend probably 75% or 80% of my time with our customers and our prospects, actually showing them how to utilize our technology to build truly innovative financial experiences. And then a lot of times our customers want to build something, quite frankly, that hasn't been done before. And I'll take that back and I'll translate that into product alongside of the product and the engineering teams. And we'll bring that to life in our technology stack. And so it might be worth telling you a little bit about DriveWell. You know, we are, in essence, the pioneers of fractional investing and embedded investing. Truly probably the first fintech broker-dealer. And effectively, we make it easy for our customers to natively embed investing directly into their mobile apps. So, you know, we work with digital wallets, neobanks, challenger banks, next-generation fintech brokers, ultimately to change the way that people invest, whether that's in securities or in crypto or any other asset.
Wonderful. And we're going to get super deep into how you both think about IT and leadership. But let's start with a big idea, a big project. Sanjay, what's a big project that you're working on at Vonage?
So one of the things I mentioned as part of my mission is to deliver best-in-class employee experience. So sticking with that for a minute, really, how do I think about hybrid, flex, highly distributed workforce and deliver best-in-class employee experience for them as they do their job daily across different functions and do it securely. So that's one of the big focus for me and my team as well. The other thing which Harry mentioned in his comments, customers. Obviously, customers are central to any enterprise, right? We don't exist without our customers. And so big focus is, what is the next level of automation and self-serve that we can deliver for our customers as well as our employees that truly enhances their customer experience as they consume our core communication services? As I mentioned earlier, our communication service, whether it's a video API, whether it's our voice communication, whether it's our messaging communication, really is an integral part of our customers' workflows, their own digital journeys. And delivering that at scale is really critical part of my initiative. And then the third point, which is, again, very important for every company, we take a lot of pride in doing what we are doing, is how do we deliver data analytics and data intelligence so that there is a single source of truth for our stakeholders to make their daily as well as strategic decisions to deliver best services to our customers. So those are the three main big initiatives that I would call out as we are embarking on this journey to help our customers transform their own digital.
I love that. We're gonna deep dive into a bunch of those areas here in a little bit. And Harry, what about you? Tell us a little bit about something, a big project that you're working on or project you're working toward.
Yeah, no, I'd say the biggest project that we're in the midst of right now is actually launching crypto on our platform. Mm. So, you know, when we started the platform, you know, our mission was to democratize investing. And at that point, it was really to democratize equities. You know, we really saw in the early days back 2012 through 15 that there was huge demand by new retail investors, global retail investors, to have access to the U.S. marketplace, right? But there were so many inhibitors, whether it was technical or whether it was cost, right? There was just no easy way to access the market. And, you know, and our technology effectively broke down all those barriers. And as I noted, we were the first to build real-time fractionalization of securities. So all of a sudden, you could buy any stock, even Berkshire A, for as little as a dollar. It was transformational, right? You know, that functionality, and creating other new innovative things like cashless brokerage, which really enables our wallet partners to effectively have investing happen directly from their wallet. The experience of buying, let's say, a cup of coffee now is no different than buying $5 of Starbucks stock. That's kind of what our technology does. And now we've seen tremendous demand beyond, you know, fractionalization of equities to make it easy to access the equities market. Now there's incredible demand for crypto. So we're in the midst of adding that to our platform, normalizing our APIs so that our customers who've already integrated with us will find it incredibly easy to now make available access to BTC, ETH, and other coins very, very rapidly. So, you know, we think that's, you know, the next big asset class for us on the platform. So, you know, that right now is one of our biggest projects with the highest demand from our customers to get, you know, up and out the door. We're in sandbox now and looking forward to getting that launched in the next month.
Fantastic. All right, let's get to this idea of talent. So obviously IT talent, always difficult, increasingly difficult, great resignation many great things that it's being called right now. You know, Harry, to you, what are some of the challenges here recruiting IT talent and how should CIOs think about, you know, figuring out ways to develop new talent, to find it and to enhance their teams?
You know, I think for us, you know, part of it is creating, if they want to work from home, giving them all the tools that they need to make that a productive environment, whether that's the appropriate hardware they need, appropriate communication software that they need, whether it's a standing desk, the appropriate chair, all those things that you would have in an office, right? What are those things that you can provide to them in their home workplace, you know, to make it more, you know, that part of a work environment? And then here in the office, right, we've done a lot of things to make it you know, a lot of additional benefits, whether you have a full kitchen, you have, you know, opportunity to play foosball in the office. I know that sounds crazy, but, you know, the ability just to have a break and have fun with your colleagues, whether it's providing lunch again to your employees. And then, you know, some of the things we've gone to is even like unlimited vacation, quite frankly. It doesn't mean that everybody takes, you know, off half a year, but they feel less pressured, right? They know that they can take the time that they need to decompress and no one's really tracking, you know, the number of days that they've taken off. So I think we've come up with a lot of interesting ways to attract talent, providing a lot of benefits, you know, and a lot of different scenarios in which they can work with us.
I'll tell you this, my ping pong game is drastically worse than it used to be. That's for sure.
Yeah, you know, and it may sound crazy, right, Em? But, you know, we just announced we're doing a full foosball tournament, I think, on the 20th and 21st. And people get super excited about it, you know? And I think that's a really neat thing. You know, we've done a lot of cool, you know, meet-me's in the evening, maybe where we have, you know, a mixologist come in and you send out a box of all the materials that you need and they teach you how to, you know, make cool drinks. Just, you know, we've come up with really unique ways, right, to bring everybody together, even though they not necessarily might be in the office. And I think, you know, in a lot of ways, we've seen that does help attract a talent. Again, in what we've seen to be a very competitive marketplace, particularly on the West Coast, in you know, when you're looking for product managers or engineers.
Yeah, no, that's great. So, you know, before talking about recruiting, I want to talk about retaining, right? We already have employees, and what do we do to retain our best talent? And one of the important things that we believe as a company is, you know, have a purpose. And explain that purpose. We as a company are in a business of connecting, right? Communications capabilities that we deliver globally for our customers. And how do we accelerate the world's ability to connect and then engage with their customers, with their employees through the communication tools that we provide? And so that purpose, that mission is something that's very valuable, and connecting our employees to the purpose of company and how it serves the society at large across all industries, where there's a telehealth solution where it connects the patient to the doctor using our Blue API. And that purpose across different industries is critical to our company, and connecting that purpose to our employees. So that is a very important aspect of retaining best talent. And then I want to talk about recruiting. And Harry mentioned about unlimited vacation. I think it's so critical to understand that human beings are whole, right? Work is part of their lives, but there are other aspects of them beyond the work. And we need to pay attention to that. So one of the things that I talk about in my peer groups and my teams and others is that we need to really think very hard about not having a confirmation bias when it comes to what are the skill sets that, and what are the metrics through which we measure candidates' potential, right? So the conventional measurements are, you know, what is the education, right? What is the technical skills? How many years of experience? All of that, which is important and helpful. But I think we cannot get beholden to the confirmation bias of those types of measurements, where somebody might have a gap year. And that gap year may have delivered one of the best experience for that person to grow into the skills or the professional he or she is. And we should avoid those types of things and just focus on the conventional metrics of hiring, right? You know, the zigzag of a career that the person might have taken is actually extremely valuable in terms of their ability to think big, right? And think broadly and think, you know, put themselves in the shoes of the customers. So I think as we hire talent in a highly competitive market, it's really important to go beyond the standard of, you know, education and number of years of experience and so forth, and look at other aspects of the human being as we hire them into our companies. So that's kind of how I think about recruiting in the highly competitive world that we live in.
I totally agree with so many things that you just said. I mean, one, you know, in terms of retaining talent, it's so important that employee feels empowered, like they feel like they're a decision maker. Right. A lot of times in companies, if, you know, employees feel like always the decisions come from simply the top and they don't have an opportunity, you know, to have an impact on that decision or to respond or even, you know, disagree with that and to say, you know, I own this product. Let's say I'm a product manager. This is how I would take it forward. And I think, you know, from a retention standpoint, an employee that feels empowered and has the ability to make decisions and impact the strategy of the company is typically one that you keep for a very long time and feels very satisfied because they feel like they actually own something in the company. And, you know, I've worked in a lot of different, you know, companies over the years, big and small. And I found that in the bigger companies, that was always one of the challenges is that, you know, not, you know, even your individual contributors, right? But you want, you know, the managers who own a product and have, you know, scrum teams to have a feeling that, you know, they're empowered in terms of what's happening with that product, even though they're guided by executive decision, ultimately, you know, they're making those decisions, you know. And the other thing just in this marketplace that, you know, as we've talked about is so competitive. I mean, one of the things you really need to look for, particularly in hiring someone who's going to be working in a remote location, is, are they a self-starter? Do they have strong communication skills? Are they able to handle themselves not being around their peers in person, right? And can get the work done with traditional, you know, like tools like Slack, not necessarily being able to get up and walk around the corner to your colleague's desk and just say, hey, I got a quick question for you. You can kind of still do that on Slack, but it's not the same thing as obviously being face-to-face. So, you know, it's not just about their, you know, their talent, right, and what they do, but it's also how well do they communicate, right? How well do they work honestly by themselves in their own environment, not being next to someone as they would potentially be, you know, in an office.
Yeah, it's a great point. Obviously, you know, this show is sponsored by Asana, and we use Google Asana Slack here at Caspian to make this podcast. It's something that I think, from a productivity standpoint, and we've talked about this on other episodes, that like everyone wants to be productive at work, right? Like they want to figure out ways that they can do their job better, faster. They want less, you know, time spent doing monotonous tasks. They don't want to have things, you know, be up in the air. And obviously employers want them to be productive too, but like, all these other things about how to increase that employee experience to make it easier to work, to make it less frustrating, is just as critical as doing the actual work itself. Because if you're sitting there, you know, banging your head against the wall because, you know, your Wi-Fi is horrific and you're using a ton of programs that make it even slower and, you know, all that stuff, like you're going to be horribly unproductive and just generally miserable.
You know, I think having the right tools is so critical. I mean, one of my favorite things though is the Jamboard, right? And so, you know, all of our employees will have not just their, you know, their MacBook, but they can choose actually between Mac or a Windows-based machine, depending upon what they're working on. But ultimately, most of our, you know, our team also has iPads. And on there, you know, with the pencil, I'm literally drawing on the Jamboard. We have the big Jamboards here in the office, right? And so literally that real-time engagement on a digital whiteboard has made a tremendous difference, right, in what you can do versus having someone being on camera writing on a whiteboard and someone reacting to it and can't draw themselves on there. So, you know, the sheer enhancement of these productivity tools has been key, particularly in COVID.
Picking up from Harry's point about the tools and the role that tools play in productivity, one of the important things through the pandemic that we have experienced, we all have experienced, is the video communication, right? You know, given we are in the business of video communication, it was actually just fascinating and quite frankly very satisfying how quickly we were able to just flip, you know, the moment's notice. Next day, we are all working remotely using, in our case, our own video conferencing product that we have called Vonage Business Cloud. And we ran our entire company on that globally for all these times and just now beginning to leverage, you know, in-office interactions and so forth. So I completely agree with Harry. That has been a big productivity tool through the pandemic. I think we would have struggled as industries across different industries if we did not have that capability. In our case, right, we were able to leverage our own thing. I think that is such a critical role that CIOs have to play and CIO teams have to play, right? We should obsess about every day, how do we make sure that our employees, entire company, our employee, our peers are able to do their job, whether there is a salesperson, whether it's a finance person, whether it's a product person or software developer, how can they do their job on a daily basis to serve the customers as frictionless as possible? So one of the themes that I really obsess about is self-serve and automation. How do I create self-serve models through automation so that, you know, if you're a salesperson, he or she has these needs and they're able to get those things done in a self-serve model. They don't have to ask for it on a regular basis. If they need to change something, they are able to do it themselves. If they need additional data from X platform, they're able to get that data based on what their role is, right? So how do we create a very self-serve, highly automated environment that reduces the friction for all our employees across different functions? And I think that's a big theme that CIOs should really obsess about in every industry, every company.
Totally agree with that as well. And it's something, actually, another project we're working on. I mean, you know, look, our entire technology stack is a robust set of APIs. I mean, basically what we did was we took the broker dealer and put it up in the cloud. It was the first time that had been done. And we basically took every aspect of the broker-dealer, whether it was onboarding, money movement, order management, portfolio management, you know, statements, conference, all of that, and made it completely accessible through a robust set of APIs. And so, you know, that's what enables this incredible, you know, embedded investing experience is we designed it to work in a mobile environment. You could take all of brokerage and just seamlessly integrate it into, you know, that mobile financial experience. And one of the things, you know, that has always been a bit of an issue is you can come to our website and for sure look at all of our documentation. We expose all the APIs. We show you how to utilize them, right? What they all are, sample requests and responses. But there was no self-service capability, actually, right? Everything had to go through a salesperson or had to go through a solutions group. Oh, I need to get the keys set up for you. I need to give you the access to it, right? And it creates a lot of friction. And what we ultimately want people to do, just not unlike Plaid or Stripe, just come to the website, recognize that you want to integrate, you know, investing into your application and immediately sign up, self-service, get a set of keys, and off you go. And you're able to begin the integration process with us. And then once you have a prototype, then you come to us and say, hey, you know, we'd love to get into production. What do we need to do? Right. And that's when you talk to somebody. So totally agree with, from the standpoint of just talking about automation, it's a really important piece for us, particularly in how we reach, you know, our customers.
And now let's take a quick break to hear about our amazing sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Asana. Even if your team isn't in the same place, your work can be. You just need Asana. Asana is where teams securely coordinate work so everyone knows who is doing what, by when, and why. To learn why millions of teams worldwide use Asana, visit asana.com. That's ASANA.com.
Switching gears here to creating a future-proof culture of innovation. You know, we touched on this a little bit, and it's part of employee experience, you know, upskilling, retraining, all that sort of piece. But innovation and making sure that people understand what innovation they can be creating and where the company is going is so critical. What does a future-proof culture of innovation look like?
So one of the things I think about when we talk about innovation is that, you know, it really should solve a need or a pain point that the customers has, right? And so putting yourselves in the customer's shoes and, you know, being deliberate about it, right? Understanding what is their business, right? How are they serving their customers, right? So we are a B2B company. We have customers. They have their own customers, right? How are they serving their customers and what are their needs and pain points so that technologies are technologies and, you know, there are an amazing set of technology and tools available to all of us, right? But how do you really think about the need or the pain point that the customer has? So culture has to, company culture has to have a customer at the center. So we have one of the core theme is what we call customer centricity, right? Everybody has to wake up and deliberately think about customer and customer centricity. That has to be just part of the lingua franca. That has to be part of our design process. That has to be part of our support process. That has to be part of our product development, feature development. That really has to be the centerpiece, right? Other stuff are support actor. You know, the main character or the main actor or the lead actor is the customer, right? So customer centricity, I think, is a big deal in order to have that culture of innovation, right? Because then you are truly not just inventing. Inventing is critical, right? You know, inventions are critical, but you're not just inventing. You are actually innovating to meet the needs of the customer. So that's one thing I would say. The other important thing, and this sort of goes into the future of the work, and I think it's going to be important to have a great deal of autonomy granted to the teams and the individuals and the innovators in your company, right? And this notion of hierarchy and all of that, I think, needs to be rethought, where, you know, the teams come together to solve a particular customer need or create a new feature or capability that meets a particular customer needs, and they disband to do something else, right? So the typical hierarchy and the silos or organizational structures that we have grown up for many years now, I think needs to be rethought if you are truly thinking about customer centricity. And I think that is going to be in a culture of innovation by granting the autonomy to the teams and not top down, but, you know, look at the customer need and the teams come together to solve that need or create new capability, and they move on to do something different for other customer need or other pain point. I think that model needs to, you know, is going to continue to evolve, and that's going to be part of the culture of innovation going forward.
Again, you know, I think we're very aligned, Sanjay, about customers being at the heart of everything. I mean, you know, interesting, before I, you know, get into a little bit about, you know, how we think about a Drive Wealth, because honestly, in everything we've done, we've always been innovative, right? We've had to be. We had to think differently in every way about, you know, how we were going to deliver what we delivered. But one of the things I learned at a previous company is one of the things that we discovered pretty quickly was we would always have, you know, business problems that we were solving. And we were solving for a revenue target, right? But yet it not always meant that you were building what the customer needed. You were always building internally for a revenue number. And we very quickly recognized that if we rethought about that, instead of a BPS, we called it a CPS, a customer problem statement, that very rapidly, not only would we build what the customer needs to solve their problem, but that would drive the revenue. Right. So all of a sudden, instead of becoming very, you know, revenue centric, we became very customer centric in how we built things, and then the revenue would come. And so that was just something interesting that we learned, you know, a very different way to think about it. Right. Don't start with revenue. Start with what your customer needs, and the revenue will come because of it, because you'll build a product that they're going to want and solve a problem. Now, you know, at Drive Wealth, you know, again, our mission from day one was always about democratizing investing. Right. We wanted to enable access to some of the most sought brands in the world, right? Just, you know, all of the major brands trade here in the United States, you know, whether it's Apple or, you know, Amazon, any, you know, Tesla of the world's. And yet there was just technical and financial barriers to entry, right? And so when we thought about how are we going to solve that problem, how are you going to take brokerage and put it in the palm of your hand? We literally just had to think completely different, almost flip the whole model upside down, right? And so in every way to deliver that type of capability, we had to innovate. And the way that we got there was, you know, it wasn't one person who thought about those things. It wasn't me, you know, yes, I came up with a lot of cool things, but it was a team effort. We encourage, right, the product managers, the engineers, right? It could be someone on the operations desk who's sitting there recognizing, seeing all these deposits come in, and is there a better way to automate that? Whatever it might be, we love to hear ideas, right? And whether that's also you're doing a Skunkworks project where you get teams of people just to build super cool stuff that they think is really neat and that, you know, maybe that's something a customer is going to want. I mean, again, you know, I think that's part of the work environment is encouraging people to step up and go, you know, I get it. I see how our customers are using our product. That's another thing I want to talk to. But that's how we've been able to be so innovative is that, you know, and build innovative capabilities is so many members of the team are encouraged to just think outside the box. There's no bad idea when it comes to this because it is green territory, right? And I think, you know, somebody talk about how do you think about the next 5 years and stuff. At the end of the day, like, I feel like my role, part of my role is to think about what is it that my customer is going to need before they actually know they need that. And that's what we did when we figured out where digital wallets were going to be and move money. That's what we need to do is come up with that next thing that we think they're going to need in the evolution of their product line, right, or their products. And so, you know, enabling people to be part of that process, to make sure they recognize that, you know, no idea is a bad idea, just get it on the table and let's talk about it. And maybe all of a sudden we come across something that, you know, our customers are going to need. And, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, right, our customers are also coming to us saying, I want to do this. Can you make that happen? Right. And, you know, a lot of times it's not just about the technology, but, you know, is it going to be compliant from a regulatory standpoint, right? And so many players come together, you know, chief regulatory officer, product people, we get on a whiteboard and all of a sudden you come up with something like, whoa, that's going to be super cool if we can make that work. And, you know, I think that's been the story of the company is always just trying to, you know, work with our customers, recognize what they're trying to build, translate that into product and then deliver it to them.
So yeah, and I think we can sum this up in a following way. Remember that a very famous book that Simon Sinek has about, you know, start with why, right? We all have read that book. So I think we should really think about start with customer, right? Start with customer in everything we do. If we keep doing that, I think we can not only meet their needs, but be successful as companies as well.
It's such an interesting point. I say this, I feel like I say it every single episode, that we created a CIO show where two CIOs can talk about all the stuff that they got going on. And we end up spending talking about the customer for half of every single interview. And it just speaks about where the position is going. And whether it's, you know, it's kind of boils down to two things. Half the time it's employee experience and half the time it's customer experience. I think it's a weird thing to wake up one day and think about the fact that the CIO is shouldering like Atlas, you know, two of the most important pillars of the company. But for many CIOs, that's what's happening. Whereas, you know, 10 years ago, they're like, nobody listens to me and nobody cares about this stuff.
But yeah, if you think about it simply, right, if your employees are happy and productive, they will serve your customers the best way possible. And if your customers are served the best way possible and they are happy, you as a company will succeed, right? So
yes.
It's weird, but it's actually also pretty just, you know, simple, right?
You know, and again, that's what I love about the role is so much engagement with a customer, but it also means like exposing your product managers and sometimes even your engineers to the customer. And they love that. Right. And the customer loves that because they feel like they have that direct engagement. And that in turn spawns innovation. You know, we talked about communication before, and every customer, right, the first thing that we do when we start engagement with them is we create a Slack channel. And that customer has direct access to our solutions group. A lot of times our PMs are in there. Some of our engineers are in there, right? Because they're right down in the gizzards, right? They literally are at the API level, you know, building out the interface and have real in the weeds questions. And that's where, you know, all of a sudden an engineer might go, I got a better way to do that. And I think I could improve the API based on what they just asked me they want to build, right? And so, you know, having the technology to engage customers in real time, even when you're not in person, giving your teams access to that, they love that. It's not just about the next, you know, Scrum team review, right? The next, you know, the next project review or sprint review, I should say, right? It's not just about another, you know, Steerco meeting. It's, you know what, I got a meeting with client X and I want to see what they're working on and they need my help to potentially, you know, change an endpoint. Again, all of the things we've talked about in terms of employee retention, feeling like they're empowered, they have access to the customer, feeling proud of what they build, seeing what they build in action. All of those things play ultimately in why we're able to innovate the way we do.
Next up, I got to figure out something that you disagree on. Well, you know, it's CIO Classified after all, so we got to talk a few secrets here in a second. But first, I want to open it up for questions that you have for each other. I know that I'm sure you have many, and it could be an entire another podcast episode. But yeah, any questions for each other?
I can ask Harry a question to you for your business. How does it change or evolve as the demographics change, especially in the US, right, from millennial to Gen Z? And as the demographics change in the society, how does your business evolve with that and for them, right?
Yeah, I mean, so certainly I would say that the vast majority of our partners, their focus is on the younger generation, right? And, you know, the underbanked, the unbanked, those are just starting their investing journey, right? That's where, you know, all the challenge banks, the neobanks, you know, have played. And so that's what we see in a lot of our trends is the number of trades, the number of accounts onboarded is significantly higher in those demographics versus, you know, my age group, right? And with that being said, though, interestingly enough, COVID, right, I think, you know, sort of brought even the older generation more into the digital world. Because I can tell you that even my parents, who are in their 80s and traditionally go to the bank, right, cash checks and things, started doing more things on their mobile device, right, which I find very interesting. And so what we're seeing is that because our technology is driving, you know, these new next generation digital experiences, you know, that is attracting the younger generation, the high net worth audience, who are typically the older generation, are feeling a little bit left out. Like, hey, why aren't I getting these super cool, sophisticated tools? And so I think it's attracting, you know, sort of the traditional firms to utilize our technology, you know, to start building out next generation tools like we're seeing from, you know, the challenger banks and some of the younger fintech players, you know. So, well, you kind of caught me off guard here about, I almost could ask you the same question, how, you know, your business is impacted by these different generations. I mean, I'd love to know a little bit more. Actually, I'm almost feeling like I should talk to you about your video functionality services, right? And the functionality that maybe, you know, what we could partner on in some things. So, you know, I'd love to
dive in
a little more there.
Happy to talk offline. But, you know, just to kind of answer back, obviously we are in a business of connecting people and connecting businesses to their customers. That is the core business we are in, extracting those connections, whether it's a standard messaging or voice or video. And as I think about my own question to you, we live in the world of instant gratification, right? And technology makes it possible, right? So when you order something, you want to get notified that the order has been placed. When something gets shipped, you want to get notified that, hey, the shipment is on its way, and you want to get notified that it's going to be delivered at 11 a.m. tomorrow morning, right? Or things like that. Or even more purposeful item where, you know, if you are in a rural area and you want to have a consultation with a doctor, how do you get on a telehealth model and actually avail the doctor and consultation no matter where you are and what time you might be in? Time zone you might be in. So delivering those kinds of capabilities across demographics, across generations, across industries is something that we think very purposefully about, which is what, you know, my point was earlier. What is the purpose of your company and how we connect that purpose to your employees, and employees feel purpose on what they are doing. And, you know, we even have adopted that into our slogan. We say one is does that. So, you know, by just saying that, you know, here is what our purpose is, whether it's telehealth, whether it's just notifications about different transactions that are taking place, giving them an ability to use the API, video or voice API, to embed it in their own applications as they create that digital transformation for their companies. And that's the purpose. And we think about across industries, whether it's retail, finance, e-commerce, and so forth, or across geographies around the world, as well as the needs of different generations, right? Telehealth is a very important need. Notifications is a very important need in the society. So that's really how we think about as a company and what is our purpose. And we explain that by saying Vonage does that across these different domains.
I tell you, you probably hate this, and it's like we have so many similarities. You asked us where we're going to find, you know, where we disagree. And, you know, something Sanjay said was instant gratification. And, you know, it's no different in our space. You know, what we're seeing from our customers is they want to provide functionality that gives instant gratification to their customers. And one of the ways they want to do that is, you know, when you purchase something, you swipe your card and, you know, you get immediate stock back reward. Like I just bought, you know, $50 of gasoline at ExxonMobil. Maybe I get 1% back, right, of ExxonMobil in my, you know, in Exxon stock, that is. Right. And it's instant gratification. Like I swiped the card and all of a sudden I was instantly, you know, like I got this cool investment. Right. So we're balancing investing and spending, and, you know, it increases the CLV, right, of the customer. Right. So this instant gratification piece, it's interesting how we share in so many, you know, same thought processes, which is super cool. I would love to talk to you online, though, about the technology and where there might be some synergies.
Sure. Which are super cool. Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's what we're all about here at CIO Classified, you know, making friendships and connecting CIOs. Gents, this has been awesome having you on the show. Final question here, you know, at CIO Classified, got to give us a secret before you get out of here. What's a secret that you know as a CIO that that other folks might not know yet?
Well, you know, I think the secret to my success, you know, personally, is I recognize you don't need to be the smartest person in the room, that hiring super smart people around you is what makes you successful, and delegating, right? And listening and learning from them. You know, again, these are very senior positions that Sanjay and I have, right? In a company, we're setting technology strategy or product strategy, you know, professing that to our customers. But, you know, over my 30-year career as well, one of the things that I learned from a lot of mentors, again, is it's okay to say you don't know. Right. And it's okay, you know, to recognize that you can reach out to the people around you, and building a strong team around you is what breeds success, not necessarily having, again, as I said, to be the ultimate decision maker. I mean, you are pretty much in depending on the role, right? But at the end of the day, you don't have to have the answers to everything, right? And knowing that and respecting that, and then respecting, the opinions of others and recognizing their talents is what makes a successful and innovative team.
I completely agree with Harry on that point. You know, hire team and trust them and delegate, give them the autonomy to do the right thing for the customers. But the other thing I would add, which we all know, but I would just underscore, empathy. I think as leaders, having empathy is such a critical skill, and it goes such a long way in really empowering your team, earning that trust, earning the respect. Same with your customers, right? Having empathy for your customers' pain points, right? You know, and understanding their needs. Or your partners. Remember, we don't do this alone, right? Our companies don't do anything by themselves. We have other partners that we leverage for all kinds of different things, right? And so having that empathy that cuts across, you know, with your employee groups, with your customers, with your partners, I think is a very important skills that humans have a much higher ability to have empathy than any other living form, right? And we should exercise that ability at every opportunity we get.
Gents, thanks again so much for joining the show. We really appreciate all of all the secrets, all the candid insights, and we'll chat again soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Harry.
Thank you for listening to CIO Classified. This episode was brought to you by Asana. From everyday tasks to big picture goals, Asana securely organizes work so teams know what to do, why it matters, and how to get it done. Plus, with more than 100 integrations, Asana brings together everything your team needs to communicate, collaborate, and coordinate work in one place. Visit asana.com to try for free. That's asana.com.